in this first letter of John, I think it's a really good book for us as Christians to read and to look over. I've been going through the first letter of John with the brothers and sisters at Grace Baptist Church, North Watford. And we finally reached and got to chapter 5, where we're going to be looking at this morning. In these opening verses of 1 John 5, we see John consistently repeats the use of the word born of. We see that John says that everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We see that he continues to tell us that if we are born of God, that we will have love for one another. That those who are born of will not find it a burden to obey the commandments of God. And we also see towards verses 4-5 that everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. This morning our focus is going to be from verses 4-5. But we're going to look at verses 1-3 to help us shape the opening verses here of 1 John chapter 5. If I were to ask you this morning how you would sum up Jesus Christ and what Jesus means to you, what would you say? How do you view Jesus? What does it mean to be born of God? There are many people who believe they are born of God, yet do not have an understanding of who Jesus is. But for me to say that, I must be implying that there is a connection between belief in Jesus and being born of God. John opens up here and he says that everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Believing in Jesus Christ is a vital belief. The kind that can determine our eternity. When we come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, something supernatural happens. You are born of God. As John says, everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God. This isn't just a belief that's just mental. It leads to a miracle. You don't just turn over a new leaf. You receive a new life through your belief in Jesus. You're not just changed on the outside, but you're reborn on the inside. You cannot be born of God if you do not believe Jesus is the Christ. We are born of God when we put our trust in Jesus and his saving work for our lives. To be born of God is a spiritual rebirth. God gives us a new life, a new heart, a new identity, a new nature, a transformation. Being born once makes you a child of Adam, but being born again makes you a child of God. Brothers and sisters, we ought to not take lightly the opening verses when John says, everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ. Because our understanding of Jesus is not a, it's not a side issue. It is the issue. You need to understand who Jesus Christ is. There are many people who believe that they are part of God's family, who consider themselves to be children of God, who consider themselves to be born of God, yet they don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. It is not enough to just believe Jesus is the Messiah just in a generic sense. But do you believe him to be your Messiah? Not just a figure in history. Not just the Savior of the world, but is he your Savior? Your Redeemer? Is he your King? Everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Christ is his title, which means the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Chosen One. He is the promised Savior. He is God's chosen King. He is the mediator between God and man. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's a personal trust. Jesus is not just a great teacher. He is the truth. He's not just a prophet. He's the fulfillment of the prophecy. He's not just a man who has carried the Spirit of Christ. He is the Christ. To believe that Jesus is the Christ, you believe that he is the only way for eternal life. We don't just admire Jesus. We don't just agree with his teachings. We believe in him. We trust in him. And we follow him because he is the Christ. Think about Matthew 16 when Jesus asked Peter and he said, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah." What did Jesus say to him? "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Peter says to him, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Notice the shift from how he said, "What do others say?" to "What do you say?" Your understanding of Jesus Christ is important, brothers and sisters. Jesus isn't looking for just correct description. He is looking for a relationship. Those of you here this morning who may not believe that Jesus is the Christ, I ask you, who do you say Jesus is? The reason why I begin the sermon this way is because as a result of the belief that Jesus is the Christ, we see a few things in the verses 1 to 3, where John says, "Everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well." When we believe that Jesus is the Christ, when we become born of God, you begin to love others with God's love. Forgiveness becomes possible. Compassion starts to grow where bitterness may have been. We're able to love God's people. In verse 2, it tells us, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments." It teaches us that true love for God's people is proven by our love for God and his obedience to his word. When we love God first, we'll love the children of God. A result of this, we also see in verse 3, that when we become his children, when we become born of God, it is not a burden for us to obey his commandments. Then we come to verse 4 and 5, where John says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." And this is where our focus is going to be this morning. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. You think about the world that we live in. Everyone's always got something. You always got something you got to get over. For some, it's bigger. For some, it's smaller. One thing comes, then on to the next. It can sometimes be quite frustrating. Sometimes you hear people in the world, when I go into work, it's not just the boys who are debating, but you also have colleagues debating and saying, You know, you need to be kind to everyone because you don't know what people are going through. All right, yeah, it's a fair argument, yeah. It's the same for us in the church. We ought to know how to carry one another's burdens, to weep with those who weep. Because often or not, most of us have things going on. There's always something. For some of you, it might be work related. Maybe dealing with stuff at work. And then maybe you've dealt with the stuff at work and it's taken up all your energy. But then something may appear with the kids. Manage to sort out that issue. But then something comes, maybe it's a health issue you have to deal with. You deal with that, then a financial burden comes along. And you have to deal with that next. That gets sorted, but then maybe you're dealing with some spiritual inner battle. Spend time with the pastor in prayer and that becomes okay, but then there's a family feud that goes on. You may be dealing with a broken relationship. Unforgiveness. Maybe self-worth. Maybe past guilt breaking in on yourself. The sad thing is that some of your brothers and sisters here in the church may be going through things like this. Some silently, some openly. In the world that we live in, we always have something. We're always going through something. We always have something we have to overcome. How many of you may be here this morning? I've said it's one too many obstacles. And I want to point you to what the Apostle John tells us here in verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God, so everyone who has become a child of God, who is in this new life, who is in this new identity, he says, has overcome the world. John mentions a principle that seems so simple, but it's so powerful. That if we are born of God, we have overcome the world. The word and this verb overcomes, he uses it a few times in the Bible. It refers to winning a victory over something or over someone. In this case and in this context, when we talk about overcome, we as Christians, those of us who are believing that Jesus is the Christ, who are born of God, brothers and sisters, you are victorious over the world. Christians are overcomers not because of anything in particular that we have done or behavior of our own, but because we are born of God. Having the Spirit of God that we have inside of us, this indwelling spiritual source which is greater than any power in this world. As we're told in 1 John 4 verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. As Christians, we can say we are victorious. We are conquerors. We have acquired victory through Christ. In a world where people are constantly dealing with things, in a world where people are constantly looking and searching, those of us who are in Christ, we are victorious over the world. Do you rejoice at that as a Christian? Do you understand that as a Christian? We are victorious because of who we are in Christ Jesus. Not because of what we do. But when we come to understand that Jesus is the Christ, when we come into this new life, to be born of God, brothers and sisters, when you walk into this church every Sunday, prayer meetings, Bible studies, you ought to be rejoicing in your heart. Because if you don't rejoice, then I don't think you understand what it means to be born of God. There are times where we will say, like the people of the world, that that's one too many obstacles. Of course, this is the earthly world we live in. But we are not like the world, where we say we have one too many obstacles. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we know Jesus Christ, when you know Christ Jesus to be the Messiah, you have already won the battle. He is the greatest source of joy that we can carry with us. You've already won the battle because of who you are in Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Knowing him not only gives us the physical rest that we know that he can give us, but the spiritual peace and forgiveness that we all need. And that's where we find our victory. Not trying to find peace in the things of the world, because the world that you live in, as I say to you, you'll deal with one and the next one will come again. You'll have your phase where you're happy from October till December. Don't worry, January to March is coming. But with Christ, the joy doesn't change. The joy doesn't change with Christ. I often say to the brothers and sisters in North Wales, when you read the scripture, read it for what it is. God's telling us we've already won. And with this mentality and with this in mind, we've conquered the world. There's nothing that can defeat us. There's nothing that can make us feel like we're down in the dumps. It is a privilege to be in Christ Jesus. It's a great joy to be a part of the family of God. It's a great joy for me when I come here to see like-minded brothers and sisters who are also victorious. In John 15, verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Overcomers of Christ are able to successfully resist the power and the temptations of this world system. Christians, just to let you know, you are in a real battle. Believers are fighting against the evil rulers, the authorities of the unseen world. The Bible teaches us to recognize that this world is a battleground. It's not a playground. But God does not leave us defenseless. Think about what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, verse 35 to 39. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. When we're talking about overcoming the world, believers, we have victory over sin. Look in verse 4. John then says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. He says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. What does he say after that? Our faith. Our faith is the victory. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, trusts in Christ's atoning work on the cross, His resurrection, his death shares in the victory. This is why it's important to understand that Jesus is the Christ, so that you too can share this victory. So again, just to anyone who is here who does not know Christ Jesus, do you not desire to be victorious? Not because of anything that you have done, but because of what Christ has done for us. And we sing the words, "The Lord is our salvation." Why do you think we can sing with joy when we see, "Who is like the Lord our God, strong to save, faithful in love? My debt is paid and the victory won." In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Ephesians 6, verse 16. We can draw strength and encouragement from the scripture, knowing that the ultimate eternal victory has already been accomplished in Christ Jesus. The victory is won, brothers and sisters, through our union in Christ, our identity with him. We continue to overcome this world with our daily life experiences by walking in faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in him. This is why John says our faith. The love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, that we carry with us through troubles, that we carry for us through hardship, through persecution. Don't forget our faith. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8, verses 35 to 37. Your faith that you have, rejoice at that. Rejoice at that. Take heart in that. You know, often, as I say, as Brother Jeff was asking me a question, I do get into a lot of conversations with people at work. And you know, often you see how the people in the world think. Sometimes some people will say when they're not feeling quite sad or when they're going through a rough patch, what they do is they'll think of a good time. They'll think of maybe a memory. And I was talking to my colleague, I said, "Oh, yeah, that's probably a smart thing to do." You know, sometimes when I think of the Grace Baptist Conference, I can only think of happy times there. I said to someone, sometimes what I have to do is just get a comedian. I need someone to make me laugh when I feel a bit sad, but that, it doesn't always work, it's temporal. But Christ, our faith in him, it's not temporal, it's not a memory. We're consistently victorious when we ponder and think about Jesus Christ. There are many people in the world who are looking to do, 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 go, 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 keep, keep, keep. But you who are in Christ have a faith that we will keep for eternity. A faith that we are able to hold on to, even in this world that we are living in, where we can say we are victorious, no matter what. We who are born of God overcome this world. As we endure afflictions, troubles, trials, suffering and heartache. But we know that challenges cannot get the better of us. Overcoming is often equated with enduring. Jesus encouraged those who followed him. Those who endure to the end will be saved. Matthew 24 verse 13. Endure to remain faithful to Christ, not falling away under the pressure. This does not mean, by the way, that salvation is obtained by endurance, but that endurance is the evidence of genuine faith. A disciple of Christ is one who endures through trials by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice, we are not saying by yourself or the world mechanism of how to fix it, but by the power of the Holy Spirit through our faith. An overcomer clings to Christ, no matter how high the cost. Hebrews 3 verse 14, we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Jesus is our perfect example. What does he say to the disciples in John 16? Verse 33 says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But Jesus says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. This is not me, John, saying this, nor the Apostle John, but Christ Jesus himself. Listen to his words. Lean upon his word. Christ is telling us that he has overcome the world. And you think about the disciples and he was saying this to them. We know what the disciples have gone through and what they had coming for them when he said this. Fear for their lives. Arrest. Thrown out of synagogues. Suffered persecution because of their faith. These were real things disciples had to go through. But they did not go astray, because they remembered the Lord's words to take courage. I have overcome the world. Things that Jesus has overcome for us. Anxieties, cares, these things that try to eat us up alive. He gives his followers peace to overcome their troubles. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Do we believe that? Do we practice that? Do you lean on the words of what Christ your Savior is telling you? Test it out. Test it out when you are going through these troubles. Pick up the scripture. Read these words that Christ has given to us. The Lord's peace transcends all confusion, fear and anxiety of this world. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Philippians 4 verse 7. He has overcome hatred and persecution for us. It's important to understand that Christ's victory over the world does not physically remove us from the battle. We may face, or I say we may, we will face the same hatred that Jesus did. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. There will be times where your own family members may hate you because of your faith. Friends may hate you because of your faith. It's nothing to worry about, because Jesus has overcome the world. Temptation, sin. As long as we are here in this world, it will always be a part of us. But Christ gave us victory over sin. Ephesians 2. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. We overcome sorrow. We overcome death. Death is a reality for all of us. But for believers, those who believe Jesus is the Christ, death means victory over our last enemy. Death is not the end. Death is not the end. It is the doorway to eternal joy and life with Christ. But we can say this with such confidence because we know he has overcome. He has done this for us. That even when we speak about death, we as Christians still rejoice, because Christ has conquered this. John 11, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Can you see why I said to you at the beginning not to take lightly just the opening verses of when John says, everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ? Because with this belief is where all it filters down. This is why Paul is able to say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, which is much better. For Christians, death is not the end. It's not defeat. It's victory. The fear of death is broken because Jesus has overcome the world. Brothers and sisters, as I conclude with you, just remember this. And if I didn't speak clearly, or if I spoke too quickly, or for some people maybe too slow, I always like to sum up the sermon for you to remember it this way. Our victory over the world is not by our strength, but by believing that Jesus is the Christ. When we are born of him, we enter into the triumph he has already won. Nothing no trial, no fear, no failure can make us forget who we are. Because our identity is rooted in him. This is the joy of the gospel. That we are victorious. Not someday, but today. In the one who has already overcome the world.